Okay, so I've just come from down there and I've come to my first crossroads where I need to again check. So there's a road that goes that way and then the road continues that way. But I want to take a look at my map. What is the expected trail that I'm supposed to take in the direction that I'm supposed to head? I believe it's that way. So here I'm taking a quick look at my map and I can see where I'm at here on this blue dot. So here I can see this kind of road that goes across where I'm standing and I'm at the blue dot and I can see that I need to continue on straight ahead. It may seem a little silly and a little early in my hike to verify that I'm headed in the right direction. But the truth is I've never been this way before, ever. I've only been around a few of the trails around here, and I've never taken the direction that I'm going. And that's really true for all of us as followers of Christ. We really have no idea where we are going. And it's really important, especially in the beginning, to not be overly confident. Over the years in my ministry, I have heard from a great number of people who found the channel or found Jesus somewhere before finding the channel. And they were so very, very excited about their faith and about what God had done for them, believing that they were further along than they were, and setting out all gung-ho without actually being cautious and careful and prudent to really say, hey, this is a make it or break it situation. I either get to the top of this mountain with Jesus and have eternal life and the abundant life, the very reasons he came, or I set out haphazardly, rush off in haste and miss the way. So I can say to you that when you are walking as a Christian by faith up this mountain, there's going to be circumstances. We can think of those as crossroads that come across your path that you need to be very confident that you know where you are to go.
Perhaps the most vibrant illustrations of spiritual crossroads in my life can be seen in all the legal battles and injustices I have faced over the years, where I would receive some terrible news that would have very high consequences in my life, like going to jail if I did not hear from God properly and then go in the right direction.
The letter that I'm holding in my hands here is from a prominent judge in Orange County, Florida, stating that if I do not remove a particular YouTube video of mine, I could actually face imprisonment. Now, in part two of the False God Challenge, I'm going to share with you which video it is that they're demanding I take down and the reason why. But more importantly, as part of a real-time, ironically timed, evidence for this False God Challenge, which I began planning before I received this letter, I'm going to be sharing with you how the living God spoke to me in answer to my prayer about what I should do in response to this letter. I'm also going to be explaining to you why I will not be taking this particular video down, in spite of the fact that it's potentially a great personal risk to my ministry, to my family, and to myself.
Okay, so it's 8:26 in the morning on Wednesday, November 1st, 2023, and this is the latest capture of all the never-ending drama that happens. I told Lisa last night, I laughed. I said, you know, I told the father, who's ever going to believe this story when it's finished? Lisa, when she heard what I'm getting ready to capture in the journal entry, what happened yesterday, she said, wow, God is writing some kind of a story. This is some kind of a never-ending dramatic story. So basically what has happened is yesterday we received notification from the court and we've been sitting waiting all these weeks. We haven't heard anything back from my attorney. We've been patiently waiting, keeping our eyes only on the Lord, trusting him, feeling that we're doing right to trust in him and wait upon him. Yesterday we received notice from the court that my filing on the 25th of September, which was the petition for termination of parental rights in order to break me free from the bondage to Carrie and to the children who hate me so that I can move on with my new life. They totally dismissed it and closed the case yesterday without there even being a hearing under the grounds that it is legally insufficient. And I can look at this circumstances and get totally flipped out, and I could be, this is horrible, I've made a huge mistake, I'm in serious trouble, I've blown it, I've put my wife's faith at stake, I've put my faith at stake. And I could say all that, and then the natural, I hired a derelict, I've been had, it's time to fire him and move on and take whatever money we can get back from him and find somebody else. These are the things that the natural immediately says. But we have to, as Christians and as a servant of the Lord, I have to say, is this what the Lord has done in the past? And isn't this exactly the pattern that everything that has happened has followed, where you move forward and you're met with obstacle, conflict, difficulty after difficulty, and you have to persevere, and you don't just suddenly try to work your way around it. You wait for God to bring you through it, just like a Red Sea or walls of Jericho or the Jordan River. You have to wait for God to remove the obstacles. I would think that this might look like the perfecting of my faith after all these years. This would be the ultimate final test. And no matter what I see with my eyes or hear with my ears, there is this part of me spiritually, grounded in faith, that says this cannot be. It's not a denial. It's not delusion. It's not an unwillingness to admit I'm wrong. That's how the natural mind would think. It is the knowing that I heard from God. It is the knowing that God led me and could have stopped me and didn't. It is the knowing that this is the exact pattern that repeats for the testing and trials of faith, that God allows everything to be so difficult. And yet it can be very fearful, because I have a derelict attorney and I'm 5 days away from basically facing jail in Huntsville, Alabama. And I have wasted months of my time and money and my wife's life and I being down here, it looks like. I don't believe that. I still believe God can turn this thing around. I believe God can do a miracle. And there's so many biblical principles. God doing last minute deliverances at the Red Sea, last minute at the Jordan River, last minute at the walls of Jericho, last minute at the gallows that Mordecai was to be hung on. Last minute, God of the midnight hour. And I've spent $6,500 and it's come to nothing. I was told there's not a judge over there who would say no to this. And now I'm being told we don't have legal sufficiency. And this derelict, attorney of ours is just doing a horrible job. So now we're at a situation where we've paid $6,500. And this lady's on the phone crying to us last night, saying that she loves Tim, but she's basically in a nutshell, a roundabout way, trying to tell us, don't move forward with him anymore. Run away from him. Now, while I was on the phone with him, I saw 616 and 512. While I was on the phone with her, I saw 616 and 512. That's take up the shield of faith with which to extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. And 512, this is the true grace of God, stand firm in it. And so now I'm having to discern, what is the true grace of God? Do I stay put with this attorney who basically I've now been told is derelict of duty by his legal assistant? So confirming everything that Lisa and I have believed, or do I try to get any money I can back, which he won't have the money to get, and go find another attorney? What do I do? We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. This is where I believe, this is the story I'm telling myself, and I won't know until the end of this. I won't know if I've been had. I won't know any more than God didn't know about Abraham fearing him until he says, now I know, until after the event takes place, until after something happens in the court system or with this attorney. I won't know. I'm having to know by faith, and I could be, my faith is being tried. Nature is pushing really hard to get me to save myself, to get me to run and take my money back. And I'm totally aware of all the feelings in the natural, and I could make a case, we made a mistake, know when to fold. Get out now, get all the money you can. You just had somebody locally tell you that, you know, they have a family attorney that could probably help with this. Go run to them. That's what nature is saying. That, you know, you hired a guy who's obviously aging to the point where he's no longer competent to do a fit service for his clients, and he's putting people in danger like me. I told him, I said, Tim, I'm going to be in jail on Monday. I gave you $6,500. You told me there wouldn't be a judge over there who would say no to this, and now they're saying we have legal insufficiency. That's you, not me. So, incidentally, he wanted to do a three-way call and have me call the attorney's office yesterday to try to stay the case again, but unfortunately, they were not available when we called. They're out until Thursday, so now we're in another situation where it looks like last minute, I'm going to have to try to file a stay, and I'm struggling with having to help my attorney and having to push him across the finish line and now having to follow up with him and realizing that maybe I needed to be following up with him more and questioning that. Well, no, this is the Lord's timing and the Lord's doing. So I've gone out this morning and I've said, Lord, I really need you to tell me what you want me to do. But I've had such a peace in my heart, especially yesterday, to know that this is either the greatest denial I've ever felt or it's the greatest faith I've ever had. And I believe, based upon how God operates by principles in the Bible and how it looks in my life, that we must continue to persevere. And the only reason I can do it is by the grace of Jesus Christ inside of me to do so. Because in my nature, it wants to just give up a long time ago, go a different route. I told Lisa yesterday, after spending the $6,500 for this filing, that I said, I'm so tempted to get a $10,000 passport and be done with it and just say, my government is not giving me justice. I have one of the worst cases of parental alienation most people have ever heard of. And you think that I'm just barely getting by, that I'm just barely have any kind of case. And it's just a barely like, oh, maybe I have a case. It's atrocious to see the gap between the injustice that's been committed against me and then the basis for getting justice, the ability to get justice. The gap is Grand Canyon size, and it shouldn't be like that. There should be people that see this and say, this is a case closed. And I can see the Lord is not wanting me to save myself, and it's difficult. It's very difficult. Part of me wants to just start putting video after video out on YouTube, passing it to attorneys, make a big noise, send it to the governor, and save myself and make a bunch of noise. And I know that as a servant of the Lord, I cannot do that. That's the way of man. That's the way of nature. Save yourself. Deliver yourself. I can't do it. If I'm Jeremiah and I'm sinking in the pit, God knows He can send somebody to save me. I am willing to go to jail to prove that I have heard from God, not for my sake, but to prove my faith to Him. I told the Lord the other day, Father, I'm willing to go to jail if you want me to go to jail. I'm willing to take the risk to trust you and to throw myself completely at your mercy and to be thrown into the pit with the lions. Part of me feels I've already been in jail for 14 years. What good is putting me in a concrete, a literal jail going to do? I'm trapped. I cannot go into the thing that God has for me. That is a prison. That's a chain that's around my neck. So I have this faith, and I'm going to keep trusting God, and I'm waiting for Him to act in my behalf. It's terrible. The circumstances are screaming, you've only got 5 days left, you're in trouble. And yet, doesn't God come through with last-minute deliverances? Isn't this the final testing of my faith? Isn't this exactly what should happen? It's like Paul floating to shore on a plank. He barely makes it. And I've believed for some time now that that's what the Lord was going to have us do, that we're just barely going to make it. And I would rather, honestly, I'm going to end it there. I would rather have been mistaken and have myself end up in jail with my poor wife tormented, not know what to do, and her having to turn around and go right back to New Zealand. I would rather that happen than to have me disobey God and try to save myself in the situation and work out some deliverance for myself rather than trust in God. I fear disappointing God and disobeying Him more than I fear being totally wronged and having terrible injustice committed against me and ending up in jail. I am more afraid. That is the most important part of this video. That I would rather throw myself at the mercy of God and say, Father, if I've made a mistake, that's fine. I would rather go into jail than to suddenly try to rebel against God and save myself and step into unbelief and say, well, God can't, or God hasn't heard, he can't save me, and step into unbelief and try to save myself. That I am more afraid of. It's just like what Jesus said, do not be afraid of those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. He says, rather be afraid of the one who, after body is dead, can throw both body and soul into hell. He says, yes, be afraid of him. And he's the one that I'm afraid of the most. I'm more afraid of disappointing God. And to me, that makes the decision a whole lot easier. I've always been more afraid of disobeying God than I have of the consequences of mishearing God and thinking I was obeying him and making a mistake that costs me something. And in this instance, that's where I find the most peace. I'm willing to trust God. I'm willing to put myself and my wife in harm's way in order that I do not bring shame upon the name of God and rebel against him or sin against him through unbelief. And I look like the deadbeat dad who is, by God's permissive will, no longer willing to pay child support to the point of going to jail. I mean, Lisa and I almost have enough money to pay the balance owed. Not quite, but we have enough money from deposit that we could at least satisfy the court. I could show up with a big check and say, Your Honor, here it is. I'm going to make my effort. And, you know, please don't put me in jail. I am not doing that. I believe God said he would not redeem me with money, and I believe that I have heard God correctly. I believe that this is exactly the way God saves, by the skin of our teeth at the very last minute, and I am going to continue to trust him and continue to wait for him to deliver, and I am not going to deliver myself. I am going to hope continually in the Lord. The Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into him and are saved, but he doesn't save us the way we want to be saved. When we want to be saved, or how we want to be saved, or without difficulty. And sometimes he just barely floats us to shore on a plank. And somehow or another, I trust God right now that he is going to deliver us. I don't know how, I don't know when, but I trust that my God is going to deliver us. Alabama completely drops the case. Completely dismissed Carrie's entire case. And so here it was, almost 10 years later, in a moment, the arrest warrant, the case, the fear of going through an airport and having them scan my license and say, oh, you have an arrest warrant, Mr. Criswell. You have to, and me having to explain the whole thing.
Or getting pulled up by a police
Being pulled over by the police officer. You remember the videos I made riding my bicycle in Cape Canaveral where I was afraid, and I would explain how I felt every time I would see a police officer. And I saw a police officer parked, and of course you naturally see them everywhere when you're out, and I just want to remember what it felt like to feel that sense of, what if they catch you? What if you have a bicycle accident? What if somebody almost hits you? What if you run a stop sign and you're not supposed to? Or throughout my time here, whenever I see that, it's like you get hit with that feeling of you're a criminal, the feeling of being guilty when you're not.
Yeah,
like that, completely gone, brothers
totally
and sisters
dismissed.
And I'm 5 days away from basically facing jail in Huntsville, Alabama. And I have wasted months of my time and money and my wife's life and I being down here, it looks like. I don't believe that. I still believe God can turn this thing around. I believe God can do a miracle. To then 18 hours after I reply, the whole state of Alabama files with the court a motion to entirely dismiss my case. And I don't think it was more than an hour or two that the court responded, case dismissed.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here as a free man. I have the money in my checking account right now to pay off 100% without even having to touch our little bit of leftover land money in New Zealand to pay off the child support and buy our plane tickets and say, guys, see you later. We're out of here. So why am I not doing it? Because the Father has so confirmed over and over again. And this is the reason that you have to obey God. And every time you obey God, it's going to completely contradict your timing and your nature.
Because remember, the days or weeks leading up to us being blessed with that money, you were seeing
523
that number that was pointing
over
to
and over
scripture.
Again.
Yeah.
523. I did not sell you for money, and I will not redeem you with money. It's like Larry Smith. You may remember in the story, Trusting God in the Storm. But in that story, Larry Smith, testifies that I get a $150,000 a year job offer. And he says, oh, you know, anybody would say this is of God. He needs the money. God's blessed. You should take it. And he says, but not Michael. He said he listened to the Lord, and the Lord said, no, brothers and sisters, it would have looked to 99% of Christians that I should have taken it. I have child support. I've lost all this stuff. I've lost my home.
Yeah, but then you rob God of his glory. And if we go and pay off the child support and we go against God and disobey him,
yes,
and we potentially free ourselves after right. all these years, you know, we're going to be coming up 4 years
correct.
Next April.
Since God first put us together.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So if we were to go ahead and do that after all these years of, you know, God leading and guiding
correct.
Us and speaking to us and changing us,
yes.
you know, transforming us
right.
and all that.
Right.
And then we go do that. And yet he's got this grand finale deliverance that
correct.
He wants to do to receive the glory.
Correct. Look at the glory of this. Take a look at this. When God led me to stop paying child support after the parental alienation was in effect for 9 years, when my bags were released to Lisa, saying goodbye on the old YouTube channel, Lisa leaving the United States of America as my wife, us making an offer on the land, us purchasing the land in the same city that Lisa found 2 years earlier, the largest gift ever received to the ministry.
From all the listeners that have been following all
yes,
these years, I mean,
yes.
we'd be robbing him of that.
We would be robbing him of that. And the fact is that with enough time, if you stick around, you find out that I've always been right to obey God. Oh, I was wrong about Persis coming back. There's no doubt about it. I'll always own that. But God was wrong about mm-hmm. Israel coming back. And he led me to Jeremiah 3:7 for a reason, so that I could share in that experience. And he could have stopped me from saying that, and he didn't. But look at all the other times. Think of the videos of me in Cocoa Beach where the Lord says, don't even reply to her contempt for emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Sit still. The Lord will fight for you. You need do nothing.
So it's about 1 p.m. on Saturday, November 18th, after looking at Carrie's most recent motions to the court, basically twisting everything. It's just horrible. I specifically thought of, does he want me to do anything? Or is it like an Exodus 14, you know, where he says, you need only stand still, the Lord will fight for you. We get here to this place and I make an order. I select my tip. Our order is $14.14.
And you see me and Lisa sitting on the beach taking this huge risk. I've got the Alabama arrest warrant and God's telling me not to even reply.
So we couldn't have gotten a more providential confirmation, just like at the coffee shop the other day with the 1414, to say, stay put.
To her huge 46-page contempt. Well, what happens? He completely shuts it down on 1-3-2024. It had been exactly 14 years to the day since Carrie Criswell first betrayed me on 12-31-2009. 14 years to the day later, minus the 3 leap days you have to remove out of those years, because it was the 3rd of January. You take out those 3 leap years, just like God does in the prophecy in Daniel about when the Messiah comes up. I tell you the truth, that is astonishing. You again think about the dream that I had in the rainforest, but like to what you said, had I not obeyed God, and I said, no, I need to reply. Did I need to reply? No, God completely wiped her out mm-hmm. without me having to do anything.
Yeah.
Then you see Lisa and I sitting on that little park bench in Cape Canaveral. That was the day our feet got swollen because we walked so far without shoes. My brilliant idea.
Yeah,
and I was supposed to be in court.
Court is starting right now. So they will have just called my name right now in court in Huntsville. And we're here because God told us to.
Mm-hmm.
And people would say, oh, he's ditching court. He's breaking the laws and all these kind of things. Brothers and sisters, do you see now how the Lord has vindicated me that
yeah.
I broke the law having heard from God, that God told me don't go, told us to stay put
yeah.
in Cape Canaveral? Can you see now how with a little time, God vindicates this servant?
Mm-hmm.
Can you now go back and watch those videos and know that Michael Criswell is hearing from the Lord? Delusion cannot manifest this. Narcissism cannot manifest
luck.
This life.
Luck,
luck doesn't manifest this. Over
no.
and over for 14 years,
mm-hmm.
I would say to you, if you're one of those who thinks that, wake up.
Yeah.
Wake up. And see the writing on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've got it up to 10 times now. God has had me not go to court hearings. God had me, you know, do this, not put in that deposit, go to India despite...
Not pull
a video down off of YouTube in 2019.
Mm.
Over and over again, not attend that hearing where they're going to put out an arrest warrant for me. God has repeatedly
yeah.
in order for me to obey him, had me violate the laws of men, exactly as it's done all over Scripture.
The actual destination to the top of the mountain is the same for all of us, but the actual trail and the actual mountain, the circumstances that we will face, and the crossroads that we will come to are all going to be different. So it's really important when we're making this journey to not throw caution to the wind for the sake of faith and courage and excitement, and not stop to say, okay, here's the crossroads I'm at. It could be divorce. It could be job change. It could be a family emergency. It could be a change in living situation, somebody living with you, you living with somebody. These are crossroads, and it's good for you to stop, pause before you take action. Check on the spiritual map of those who've gone before you, starting with the Bible. Does the Bible say clearly, here's where you're at, and here's where you're supposed to go? For example, if you're standing in a crossroads of combative, difficult relationships, that's a crossroads in your life. A relationship is fell apart. The Bible says to you, this has happened to you now. Here's the guidepost. It's called forgiveness. You don't just rush on through that situation, making decisions based on how you feel. You stop and you check the crossroads back behind you. You look to see, where am I at? And where does the Bible say that I'm to go from here? That is so important, my brothers and sisters, in this Christian life. When you begin that journey way back there, there's no way for you to just put your head down, grab your poles, and go without ever being stopped by new circumstances, new events, surprising, difficult problems that will happen, or open doors that will appear. You don't just take the risk. You stop and you exercise prudence. You give thought to your ways before you take the next step.
Okay, so before you go, I want to take you to our website, and I want to show you the most important thing about learning how to know which way to go when you come to a crossroads is to be able to hear God. You have to be able to hear God. I have a lot of teachings on this subject available for you right here for free on our website. You select the Teachings tab, and you go down to Messages by Topic, and you scroll down just a short way, and you'll see here we have Noah at the burning bush. If you click listen there, there's several really, really good messages that you can listen to about hearing God speak. One other place you can go is under the devotional tab. You see Table in the Wilderness. Incidentally, this is a good place for me to plug Table in the Wilderness to let you know you should be subscribed at our website. We're going to start sending these emails back out again on January 1st. We did about half of the year this past year, and God willing, we'll go ahead and finish the whole year worth of devotionals, but you'll see them starting on January 1st, so make sure you come and subscribe at the website. But if you scroll down now under Table in the Wilderness, you come down and you'll see a Categories tab here. Select Categories, come right here to Hearing God, and you can listen to all kinds of messages in high-quality audio that I've made for people over the years about how to hear God speak. And may God richly bless you as you do.